is Manny Quinones. I'm the acting board chairman for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Can you state your name?
Michael Antunes.
I believe that our board member, Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, will be handling your hearing, and the next voice you should hear should be our panel lead. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Antunes.
Good morning.
Could you please state your name and your ABC number for the record?
Yes, it's Michael Antunes, 135102.
All right. Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding the one allegation that's listed on your warrant. I see that you were notified about this hearing on May 15th, and you signed a form that day. Do you remember?
On May 15th?
Yeah, you signed the form that day.
Yes, I do remember.
Okay, and on that form, this is why that's important. On that form is a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is you could hire an attorney to represent you at your expense, or you can represent yourself. Did you hire an attorney, or will you represent yourself today?
No, ma'am, I'll represent myself.
Okay, that's just fine. The members of the board conducting the hearing today are the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Louis Quinones, who you just heard introduce this, and the Honorable Michael Johnson. My name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the lead of this this hearing.
Okay.
Also with us in the room, we have Mr. Turner, who is with the Department of Corrections. He's a community corrections officer, and he'll represent the department and your parole officer in today's hearing.
Okay.
So I need to swear the both of you in. So Mr. Antunes and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, I swear.
Thank you both. Mr. Antunes, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. With phase one, to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, and then phase two, to determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So, Mr. Antunes, for phase one of your hearing, I'm going to read this allegation to you, and I need you to tell me if it's true or false.
Okay.
Okay, sir? So we'll start phase one, and here's the allegation. It's that you were in violation of condition number two, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer to establish residency on April 2nd of 2018 at the Vivray Halfway House, located at 2501 West Elm in Phoenix. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you were an absconder from supervision. Mr. Antunes, is this true or false?
No, that's false, ma'am. I actually went talked with Ryan at Vivray House, and he stated that I am not allowed to just show up at Vivray House. That parole office, the parole office for the Department of Corrections, makes that mistake a lot, that they just send people over there, and that we're not allowed to do that. I actually spoke with Giovanna on the, well, I left her a message on the 3rd. She contacted me back on the 4th. And I told her what happened, and she told me, okay, and that she would call me and let me know when she would see me. I also told her that I had an address to for them to check out, because my address to my mother's place got denied, and I got informed before, like, the day that I was getting out, so I wasn't able to give them another address. And also, I told her that I had a job interview at Denny's on 111th Avenue in Grant. I was still calling my colors. I was still doing everything that I was supposed to.
Mr. Antunes, I'm just going to ask you to hold up with that for just a minute, because that's kind of getting toward phase two information.
Okay, I apologize.
That's all right. Not a problem. I'm going to ask Mr. Turner to give us some testimony about the allegation, okay? So hold on, and you'll be able to hear this. So, Mr. Turner?
Yes, on 4-2-2018, the offender reported in person for his initial intake. The offender was verbally directed to establish residency at Vivray Halfway House, located at 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85017. On 4-9-2018, Cecile Pivak received a discharge letter from Ryan, the manager at Vivray Halfway House, which stated the offender failed to establish residency with Vivray on 4-2-18. The offender failed to establish residency at Vivray on 4-2-18 as directed verbally and in writing by CCO Pivak and CCS Rodriguez. The offender's whereabouts are unknown, thus he's an absconder from supervision. Follow-up allegation. On 4-9-2018, CCO Pivak attempted to call the offender without success. On 4-9-18, CCO Pivak called the MCSO, and the offender was not in their custody. On 4/10/2018, CCO Senior Haggard made telephonic contact with the office of Maricopa Medical Center, was informed the offender was not a patient at the Maricopa Medical Center. CCO Pivac knows of no one else to call in an attempt to locate the offender.
Okay, Mr. Antunes,
yes.
What's false about this allegation? We have a letter in our file.
I went down there. Obviously, I did not establish residence because they didn't allow me to establish residence because they told me, the manager Ryan that I talked to, he told me that the reason I was unable to get into the halfway house is because the halfway house that they sent me to or that they told me to go to, it's not the halfway house that I was approved to go into. I told my parole officer this, and she stated back to me, okay, that halfway house I know that there was no way to speak with the manager of the house, but that halfway house is for people that get dirty UAs in situations like that. The halfway house that I would be approved to go to, which I never got approved to go to, was a halfway house to just establish residency. I advised my parole officer, Giovanna, of this, and she stated to me, okay. I spoke with her twice. She never attempted to call me back prior to that. My mother also, she had a phone number from my mother. My mother also never got a call from her. And I also told her, that's what happened. I know it's kind of hard to, it's her word to get mine, and it's kind of hard to prove that.
Let me ask you one thing.
Okay.
What's the address of the halfway house that you went?
I'm sorry?
What's the address of the one?
It's 2501 West Elm.
And that's
in Phoenix, Arizona.
Then that's the one that Mr. Sturgeon said that you're not supposed to be at that one?
Correct. Those were key steps because I was getting out of the Department of Corrections and I was establishing residency. And that halfway house, that exact house that they have, I guess, was not for people to establish residency at. That halfway house is for people that have been out and got dirty UAs in situations like that.
Well,
I wasn't under that one.
Mr. Antunes, by establishing residence, all we mean is you checked in and you were accepted in and you put your stuff in your room and you...
Right, and I was not accepted into that halfway house. He told me that the Department of Corrections makes that mistake a lot, and they send parolees and offenders there all the time, and they have to turn them away.
Okay, well, sir, hold on just a second. I'm going to ask Mr. Turner, because that's his role here, is
okay.
To represent the department. So what do you have to offer, Mr. Turner?
Mr. Vibray does have more than the one facility.
Right.
They have several.
That's
facilities.
What I asked.
However, all intake processes are done at the Elm Street property, and at that point, once they've done the intake, got the information, then they provide them the other location they're going to live at.
Okay. So by establishing residency, we mean talking to the person, checking in, giving your info, giving your money if they need to. That's what they mean.
Yes, and then they will be given an address, which that address, if they determine they're not going to stay at the Elm Street property, then they send us, they forward us the address of where they're going to put that.
Okay.
He never mentioned that to me. His exact words, his exact words to me was, parole makes that mistake all the time, and they send people over here. We do not accept people at this halfway house or at this location. And those are his exact words to me, and they turned me away.
All right, Mr. Turner, have you had any experience with Mr. Sturgeon, who's the admissions director?
I had lots of telephone contact. When I was in the field, I had lots of people that resided at Vibray, at the Elm Street, and also the other facilities, as that's where they were approved to reside. At no point have I ever had anyone discharged or turned away. They have always reported at the Elm Street property, they did their intake process, and then they were placed at the other houses as needed.
Okay, all right. Then I'm going to say, based on for allegation number, or the only allegation, I'm going to say, based on information in this in warrant 2018W1048 and Mr. Turner's testimony, based on his experience working in this field and knowing Ryan Sturgeon and the halfway house, I'm going to move to find Mr. Hernandez delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal vice or company.
Second. I didn't sound to this.
Okay. Mr.
Well, I didn't, ma'am.
I'm sorry. Then second by Mr. Johnson. Hold on one second, Mr. Attorney.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm done.
Mr. Neal and Mr. Quinones. Okay. Let me mark this. Okay, marking paperwork. Mr. Antunes, in phase two of this hearing is probably the more important one, and that is to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked.
Okay
sir, so that's what we're going to address now, and we'll take into consideration everything that we've already heard. Before we start talking with you about phase two, I'm going to ask Mr. Turner to give us all some background information about your supervision. So just hold on and listen and remain silent. We'll be right back with you.
Okay.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Mr. Turner?
Yes, Mr. Antunes was released from ADC custody on 3/30/2018 and arrested on 4/25/2018 by Peoria PD. No new charges noted. He returned back to ADC custody on 4/25/2018 with an adjusted CCD of 8/23/2018 with 23 abscondes. Current conviction, 2014 commitment F, count 1, child adult abuse, 1 year. 2014 commitment F, count 3, narcotic drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 1998, commitment A, count 1, misconduct involving weapons, 2 years, 6 months. 1998, commitment B, count 1, theft, 3 years, 6 months. 1998, commitment B, count 5, trafficking in stolen property, 3 years and 6 months. 1998, commitment C, count 1, theft, 4 years, 6 months. 1998, commitment D, count 1, aggravated assault, 5 years. 1998, commitment D, count 3, misconduct involving weapons, 2 years, 6 months. 2003, commitment E, count 2, trafficking in stolen property, 5 years. 2003, commitment E, count 9, theft, 3 years, 6 months. Since third term in ADC, he has a CUIR score of 3.3, mental health score of 2, substance abuse score of 2. He self-admitted to being a member of the criminal street gang East Coast Crips Phoenix. Prior terms of supervision, 2006, TIS release, absconded for 80 days, arrested, revoked by BOEC. Disciplinary significant with conspiracy, disorderly conduct, and drugs noted. There's other arrests, however, they are either dismissed or not charged, no charges filed. He has a GB score of G7-V8.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Turner. All right, Mr. Antunes, so you it looks like you were initially released without a placement at all, but you mentioned that you'd given like your mother's address, was it, or?
Yeah, I gave them my mother's address, and they went over there, and they didn't find it fit for me to live there.
Right, and there were lots of reasons
for
that. Right.
By the time I was told about that, I was already getting released.
Right. Okay, so then the thing happened at V-Way, which you've explained. I am not understanding why you feel you were not allowed to live there.
Ma'am, for the record, it was what the man told me. I'm not sitting here, making things up. By far, with respect to the board at all, or the board committee or Department of Corrections, that's what the guy Ryan told me. I went down there. My sister actually drove me down there. I had all my stuff, and that's what he told me. He said there was a reference letter that needed to be sent to them, and that he turned me away.
Okay.
I spoke with my parole officer. I left her a message a day after that, which was, I believe, the 4th. She contacted me, called me on my phone. I relayed exactly what the man told me to her, and she said okay 3 times, and that's when she said she'll call me and let me know when she'll come see me, because we're not allowed to go. We don't do in-office visits.
Okay.
At the office out there on Pass Beardsley, the Northern Regional Parole Office.
So when did she call you?
She called me on the 4th.
She called you back on the 4th.
She called me back on April 4th, and I didn't hear nothing back from her since then.
Okay, so where did you go then?
I was paying for a hotel.
Oh, see,
and when I went initially and saw her on the second, I told her that.
Okay. And then you also mentioned that you had another address that you were going to have it checked out?
Yes, which was my grandmother's.
Oh, okay.
In Youngtown.
Okay. And you, yeah. That you never did have that one checked out then?
She never contacted me back.
Okay.
I was actually staying at the Days Inn on Al Mirage and Bell.
Okay. All right, so.
And I had employment at Denny's on 111th Avenue in the Grand.
Okay, and that's right. You did say that you had an interview at Denny's anyway.
I had an interview, yes, when I spoke with her. I actually had an interview on the 2nd, but it ran past, and I was at the parole office. I was at the Northern Regional Parole Office from 9 o'clock in the morning until 2:30 in the afternoon.
Okay. But you got the job at Denny's.
So correct.
You were working at Denny's. Okay. Well, that's a good thing. All right. Now, we don't have any it looks like you were placed on the task.
I was placed on colors, and my color was maroon.
Okay. And so did your color come out?
No.
Okay. And were you on that because you'd had drug issues in the past?
Yeah, I was on it because those were a part of my terms that she put me on.
Okay.
That was my only term.
Okay. And what drug had you had problems with in the past?
Narcotics.
Oh, cocaine? All right.
Yes.
All right. And when's the last time you used cocaine, sir?
About a year ago,
okay.
A year and a half ago maybe, no, about before I got arrested on July of 12th of 2017, so around that time.
Okay, so you've been clean about a year from on cocaine?
Correct.
All right. And anything else, alcohol or anything else?
No, I haven't had any of that.
All right. Sir, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have anything to, any questions. Any questions from Mr. Antunes? Okay. Mr. Turner has a comment.
Yes, may I read the initial intake?
Please.
That he had. So he was released from ASBC Winslow on 3/30/2018 without an approved placement. As an SO homeless, intake completed on 4/2/2018, photo and AIMS updated. CCO PIVAC attempted to establish residency for the offender at PRC, and the offender was accepted but then denied by PM, the manager, Norman.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, please? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, we'll make sure you read the microphone.
Offender was released from ASPC Winslow on 3/30/2018 without...
I was released from Florence Unit, not Winslow.
Okay. You were released without an approved placement, correct?
I mean, they had denied the address. I don't know if it was without a approved placement, but they denied my mother's address in the time...
So you were released homeless, correct?
I was just released, sir. I don't know.
Okay. There may be a with that facility. So on 3/30/18, he was released without approved placement as an SO homeless. Intake was completed on 4/2, photos and AIMS updated. CCO PIVAC attempted to establish residency for the offender at PRC, and the offender was accepted, but then denied by Ms. Dorman. Referral was then sent to V-Ray, and the offender was approved and accepted.
I was never accepted, so I'm telling you guys, I went down there and spoke with the guy. I never did an intake, I never did anything.
Right, Mr. Antunes?
Yes?
If you hold on so that people aren't talking over each other,
okay, I'm
going to have you just hold your comments. If you need to jot down things, write them down, but I'm going to ask Mr. Turner to give his full statement, and then you can respond.
All right, sorry.
Referral was set to V-Ray, and the offender was approved and accepted. The offender will reside at the approved residency at V-Ray at 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85017. Deal verbally went over and explained the requirements, obligations and procedures, other conditions of supervision and special conditions, restitution, medical marijuana, and task. The offender then read and signed new conditions, supervision, special conditions, restitution, medical marijuana, task forms. Offender read, signed, copied all forms, and agreed to comply. Offender was assigned the task color of maroon. And then comments were made. The way that it is done, before we send someone out there, we get a confirmation, either by phone or by mail, that the placement has been approved and that the offender has been accepted prior to sending him to the arena. So prior to him being sent out there by the PO, he was accepted by V-Ray as to be a resident. That's why that address was approved.
Okay. And the conditions that he signed would be these ones?
The ones that are in the packet with you, yes.
Okay. So we have, these are the very ones that he signed.
So on those conditions, if you look at the special conditions, on B it says, right here it says, if displaced or discharged from your group residence, you must telephone your assigned PO by 10 a.m. the next workday. If you do not make contact with your assigned PO, report immediately to the 801 building, Phoenix, or to see the duty officer or by candidate.
Okay.
There is no note in here that she spoke with him after the initial intake.
Okay, and Mr. Antunes, did you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I did speak with her. I left her a message on the 3rd, and she called me back on the 4th. I spoke with her. I made contact with Vivri. I did everything I was supposed to do, and this unfortunate situation happened. I did not go out of my way. I was not committing criminal activities. I wasn't doing any of that. I did everything I was supposed to do. I mean, I can't say that I established residence at Vivri because obviously I'm here saying that the established residency didn't take place. But I went down there and I did speak with him, and that's exactly what he told me. And I told my parole officer that, and that's exactly what she told me. And she told me that she would get back to me, and she never got back to me. My mother was her. She had my mother's phone number, 623-399 number, and she had my number, 602-752 number. She never made contact with me at all.
Okay, sir. Thank you for that. Well, Mr. Antunes, we're coming toward the end of your hearing, and you've given us a lot of information. I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement if it's, you know, something you haven't already told us. Is there anything else you can think of that...
Yeah, and I never absconded. She had my contact information. Those are her words to me exactly where I will give you a call when I'm going to come see you because we don't do in-office visits at the Northern Regional Parole Office.
Okay.
I never absconded. I never did any of that. I mean, I understand I'm in this unfortunate situation to where it's her word against my word. And, I mean, I know she is the parole office, and she's a parole officer. And you guys see a lot of inmates going through this situation. But, I mean, honestly, I'm telling you guys exactly what took place, and those are the honest words. I'm not trying to persuade you in any way. I just ask you guys to look at this with an open eye and with an open heart and see that, you know, I'm actually telling the truth on this situation.
Okay, Mr. Johnson has a question for you.
Okay. Mr. Turner, so is there a reference letter that has to go to Vivri on Elm Street before they take someone out of it?
Before, no, sometimes it can be an email, sometimes it can be over the phone.
Okay.
So I can pick up the phone if I'm at my desk or in the field and ask them if they have a bed available. That we need to place someone there. He takes the ADC number, asks what the crime was, and at that point he'll either tell us yes or no. So we get a verbal, and then that's what we go with our approval.
Okay, so does she have, is there anything in the criminal else that talks about that verbal, just that approval?
Just the approval where it states that they were gonna put him at PRC, and then the manager decided not to, and then it says, referral was then sent to Vivri, and the offender was approved and accepted.
Okay.
Well,
Mr. Antunes.
Hold on.
So, Mr. Antunes, you were listed as an absconder for 23 days. So why didn't you try to contact the PO again instead of just waiting on the PO to contact you?
Because I was going off of what she had told me to do. She told me that she will contact me when she's going to come out and see me for my monthly visit. She said I only had to see her once a month. I didn't feel that I needed to contact her as long as I was doing everything that I was supposed to be doing.
Okay.
She told me to call colors, which my color was maroon, and that's what I was doing.
But you signed a documentation, sir, that said that if you change your residence, that you would contact her.
And, sir, with all due respect, I did contact her. I contacted her the same day that I spoke with Ryan, and she called. She didn't call me back that day. She called me back the next day. I want to say around 9-something in the morning, maybe 8-something, 9-something in the morning, and that's when I spoke with her, and I told her exactly what took place. She contacted me on my cell phone, 602-752-2891.
Okay, sir, thank you.
Mr. Turner, is it possible that when the parole officer called Vivray to say, do you have a bed, we're going to send this guy, that parole officer talked to someone else other than Ryan Sturgeon, and Ryan Sturgeon didn't get the message? Is that possible? I mean, because I...
More than likely not, because we call Mr. Sturgeon directly, because he's the only one that can approve anything.
He's the admissions director.
Correct. Even if we were to send someone out there for the RCBN program, he has to be contacted, because he's the one that approves or denies the placement.
All right. Mr. Quinones has a question for you, too.
Sorry about that, Ms. Rittenhouse. And it's a follow-up with Mr. Turner. And pardon me if this was already asked and answered, or maybe I just didn't hear it right, but it would seem that there would be some obligation for Mr. Antunes to have some contact from his own initiative in that 23-day interim, or is it possible that there was no contact for a month pending?
There is nothing noted that they had contact after the initial intake. At the initial intake, she told him to report and establish residency. And then on the second, she received the notification that he had never established residency. We would have never received that had they not been expecting him.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, so back to Mr. Antunes. Is there anything else you've thought of that would be pertinent to this that you haven't told us already that you'd like to share?
I mean, what's pertinent is pretty much exactly what I told you. I mean, there's not anything else that I'm leaving out. Obviously, I mean, you guys know that I, in order for me to know the guy's name and know the address just offhand, I had to contact somebody, and I had to go down there and talk to somebody. You guys see that I got released in 2006, and I haven't been in trouble until 2000, I'm in now. That was a pretty decade gap of not getting in trouble. I'm not sitting here trying to persuade the panel in any way. I'm telling the truth on everything that I'm speaking of, and I know that Mr. Turner, with all due respect, has his job to do, and he's doing his job. He's reading off a paper that he was given. He really doesn't know me or my case. He's got some papers that he's reading off of. I was firsthand involved in the situation, and I'm telling you exactly what happened verbatim. I'm not just making it up that I talked to these people, because I told you the names of these guys, and I actually did talk to these people. I did call my parole officer, and I did speak with her. Off the hand, when I went into the office on the 2nd, it seemed like a bad situation there. She tried to tell me to go homeless to some place called Sacramento in Tucson. I've never lived in Tucson a day in my life. I spoke with her supervisor at that time, and I said, can we find any other alternatives? He found this Vibri place on 25th Avenue in Elm. I went down there, spoke with Ryan, and those are the unfortunate circumstances that happened. He said that parole, Department of Corrections makes that mistake a lot. Before, he said they used to be able just to send people up there and they accept them there. He said, but they don't longer do that. If you guys can pick up the phone right now, call him and ask him, he'll tell you the same thing that he told me. And that's exactly what he told me. I'm not making this up. I spoke with her on the 4th, and she directed me to, that she'll call me and let me know when she'll be to see me, because they don't do in-office business over there. That office doesn't do that.
Right, okay.
And that's exactly what took place. I was working at Denny's on 111th and Olive, and got pulled over, Peoria picked me up, and I had a warrant for my arrest saying I absconded. Never did I abscond.
Okay, so hold on one more second. Mr. Turner has another thing to add.
The concern that I would have is he did sign conditions that stated that he would not reside with any minors and would not have any unsupervised contact with minors. So me as a parole officer, at the point that if I would have been in contact and said I could not live there, I would not say I'll contact you later, because the concern is going to be the fact of where he could live, because allowing him to live somewhere that there would be a minor would be setting it up for failure. He knows he can't be with minors. Our concern would be to ensure that that didn't happen and find him placement. So I have concern that he went, he says that it was established, and he didn't insist on contacting the PO due to that restriction, because that restriction would have violated his conditions.
Okay.
I mean, but that's what she did tell me. She did tell me that you can call and ask. I mean, that's the only thing that I can say. I mean, you can call and ask. I know it's not going to happen, but I mean, that's the only thing that I can get out of it, is calling up there. I mean, that's exactly what she told me. Yes, you're correct, Ms. Turner, in the regards to the minor situation. You're correct about that. And I did tell her that I was at a hotel, and they approve people to be at hotels all the time. And I also had my grandma's address that I was waiting for her to do something with.
Okay.
She never contacted me back.
We're gonna look real quickly, sir, and see if we can get a hold of your PO. I don't know if we can, but sometimes they're out in the field and they're not reachable. But we'll see.
I'm just trying to find the list of everybody's.
Right, to find a number real quick and see if we have even a cell number.
Even, I mean, you can even try Ryan. I mean, I'm telling you, with all due respect to the panel, that's exactly what took place.
Mr. Turner, is it possible because of the nature of the crime that he would have been, that Mr. Sturgeon would have said that?
He would have never accepted it, because we have to give, he actually has access to part of the AIMS that we have,
yeah,
so that they can go in and look at the crimes. So if he wasn't going to accept it.
So he wouldn't have even let you send him.
He would have never given it, he would have never authorized it.
Well, I never.
But then when he gets there, Mr. Antunes is saying that he said you're not allowed.
I mean, if it was my nature of my crime was I horrendous. I mean, I would, normally they would have people register as a registered sex offender. I never had to register as a sex offender.
Right.
I wasn't on any type of sex offender terms or anything like that. I was on a once-a-month visit to the parole office with UA, and my color only came up once a month.
If you're ready, I can give you her cell phone so we can attempt to contact her.
Can you try to call? We'll try to call and your PO, Mr. Antunes.
602?
More? Then when that comes up there.
Conference?
Yeah, conference. 602?
621? 1576.
Once again, I'm trying to swear.
Just the button?
Yeah, like.
Hello?
Hi, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency.
Yes, hi.
Hi, is this the parole office?
Yes.
We are in the process of conducting a hearing, and we wanted to see if we could get some information for you about the confirmation.
Ms. Park, how
about you? Michael, please.
The inmate's name?
No, the PO.
Giovanna Peabock?
Is this Officer Peabock?
Yep.
Okay, we're conducting a hearing with...
With Michael Antunes.
With Michael Antunes. And we were trying to just get some information. Do you recall that particular case?
I do.
Okay. The Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse has conducted the hearing. We're going to put you over on the conference so that Mr. Antunes can also be on the call.
May I ask for a favor, please?
May you ask for what?
May I ask you a favor? You called my cell phone and I was prefer I would hear better if you call my landline, my office phone.
Okay, if you give us that number, we'll call that number.
Okay, it's 623.
623.
474.
474.
1508.
1508. Okay. Okay. We'll call you right back.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I think I can do.
We have to make sure he's still there.
Mr. Antunes, are you still on the line? Mr. Antunes, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am, sir.
Okay, hold on 1 minute, sir. Conference. I want to, if you just hold on, I want to make sure we conference you in. Antunes, are you still on the line?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse will be conducting the hearing. She's going to go ahead and proceed farther with you. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Antunes, we have your parole officer on the phone. And
okay.
I'm sorry, officer, I'm not sure how to pronounce your name. Could you
Giovanna.
State your name, your full name?
Giovanna Pivac.
Pivac, okay. All right, and I need to swear you in, because we're going to ask for some information from you. So do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do.
Thank you. So, Ms. Pivac, the issue that has arisen is that Mr. Antunes says that he went to Vivre as directed, but that Ryan Sturgeon told him that he was not accepted there, and that Corrections makes that mistake all the time, and that he was turned away and went to stay in a hotel instead, and that you told him it was okay. So I don't know if you recall, can you tell us what happened around the time of that incident?
I'm not sure about Ryan telling him that he wasn't accepted when paperwork was received at the halfway house.
Well,
I'm sorry, Mr. Antunes?
Okay, I apologize.
One at a time, and then you can take notes if you need to. Thank you. Officer Pivac, please continue.
I don't remember the conversation between the two of them, and if Ryan did tell him he wasn't accepted when paperwork was sent, and we usually get a confirmation. Michael elected to go by himself, even though they offered to come and pick him up. And then when he arrived, Ryan did confirm that he arrived and left the property and never returned, so his intake was never completed.
That's what he went, and he just didn't do it anymore.
Okay. So there's no indication as to why the intake was not completed?
No, but what I can do is I can maybe attempt to get Ryan on the phone.
Gosh. Is it possible to get him like on your cell? We can try to patch him in too, I guess, if you have a number for him. Do we have a number for...
I no longer have a number.
Okay, maybe it's on this letter.
I do have his number. Let me just see if he's...
And with all due respect, Joanna, I did call you, leave you a message, and you contacted me back and forth.
I did, but you never returned to Vibre.
Well, because the Ryan told me that you guys make, not you per se, but the Department of Corrections makes a mistake and sends people to that 2501 West Elm Street all the time, and that they don't accept them there.
Okay, and that's why I would prefer that we speak with Ryan
well. That's totally fine. You can call him and ask him if that's exactly what he told me.
Okay.
We do have a number on this letter that we could try, I suppose, to reach him. You have the number. Okay, so
okay,
Mr. Johnson.
So will both of you just hold on. We're going to try to get a hold of Mr. Sturgeon, okay?
Okay.
Get more. Wait, hit it again. Because that has to come up.
Yes.
That little line. That little circle.
In the conference?
At conference. Zero line.
cousin, which is the voicemail for Ryan Sturgeon. Please leave your name and a callback phone number, and I will return your call as soon as possible. Thank you very much. You have a great day.
Sorry, mailbox is full. To send an SMS notification, press 5.
Everybody should still use the cell phone, yes.
Okay, do we have the parole officer and Mr. Antonio still on the phone?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. We could not get through to Mr. Sturgeon. His mailbox is full, and it was a hard line with no pickup. So that is not an option we have right now.
Okay.
Does the PO have another?
Unless, Ms. Peabach, do you have a cell phone number or something?
I actually reached out to him via text message. I have his cell phone, and he's telling me that he's in a meeting, will be available for 30 or 45 minutes. So I asked him, and it's one question that you guys have, if he's available to just get on the phone real quick.
Okay, so we can try to get him on quickly?
I'm waiting for his response because he's in a meeting currently.
I suppose we should just continue with the hearing.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Mr. Antunes, we've tried to reach. We've reached your parole officer, and we've tried to reach Mr. Sturgeon. He's not available. He's in a meeting.
I appreciate you guys trying to do
so, that. So, you know, we have to. I think we kind of have to move on. Ms. Peabach, is there anything else you can think of that you would like to contribute to this?
No.
Okay. Mr. Johnson has a question.
Ms. Peabach, when he didn't show up, I know that when you received the letter, you tried to get a hold of him, but he's stating that the reason that he didn't do anything else because you gave him permission that you were going to contact him, and he was waiting on your contact to him. Mr.
On my contact to return to the halfway house?
Well, Mr. Antunes stated that he was he didn't contact you because you had informed him that you would be contacting him to let him know when the next time that you were going to see him.
No, the information I received from Ryan is that, let me just see.
I think what he's trying to ask.
Mr. Antunes, please be silent.
I went into my email, the email that I sent to Ryan on April 9th, that when Michael told me that he went to Elm and he was told to go on 43rd and Northern for intake. But Ryan said that he never reported for intake, which we all agreed on. And then Ryan's response was that, let me see, the information Michael provided would lead him to believe he did not indeed show up in person to Elm. However, the staff did not make any notes that he was ever there. We all have all offenders report to the facilities, and then we transfer them to the corporate office, 43rd and Northern, for a more professional intake as well as clinical assessment. This ensures that we get the offenders started off right in a program with a clear explanation of the program as well as meeting any immediate needs of theirs. Staff would not have allowed this offender to self-report to the corporate office. We would have transported him. Therefore, I'm led to believe that he did show up to Elm, but then walked off. And then he did not go anywhere else.
But that never happened. And as soon as I left Elm, I contacted you and I spoke with you.
Mm-hmm.
All
All right, so Ms. Pivak, did you direct him not to say that it was okay and that you'd be in touch with him?
I did say I would stay in touch with him, but he was approved to stay at Weaver, and he had to report back to Weaver, which he never did.
Okay. All right, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, Mr. Antunes, now we're coming to the end of your hearing. I don't know if there's anything else that you need to share that you haven't already told us, which you've already told us a great deal. Did you think of anything else?
Just the fact that I did not abscond. I was in contact with her. She said that last time I was in contact with her.
You've already told us that, sir. You've already told us.
That's really it.
All right.
That's really it. Okay.
Okay, sir. The board is going to go into discussion. And all we ask is you remain silent on the phone. We do all our discussion.
I will.
We do all our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So
okay.
We haven't discussed this before right now, obviously. Or we wouldn't be so lacking information, which we've now gotten. So all we ask is remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a moment.
Okay.
So the board is now in discussion. This is a difficult, very difficult case. Mr. Antunes speaks in a very sincere voice, and I tend to believe him. I believe what he says based on his voice, but I also believe that he had a misunderstanding and that he did not understand something correctly, and he was in violation of the conditions that he signed. He may have understood something that was told to him verbally and drawn a conclusion that wasn't correct. He also has a past community supervision term in which he absconded. Now, he does claim he didn't abscond on this term, and as I say, he sounds very sincere, and I tend to believe him. But based on just all of the miscommunication and involved in this, he was scheduled for release in August, which is only a month and 2 months away. I am not seeing him as a good candidate for community supervision, just given all the mix-ups and the inability to follow direction. But I will listen to any input from fellow board members. Mr. Johnson.
I don't say that I agree. I think that Mr. Antunes may be sincere in what he's saying, but we've tried to follow through on what he's told us, the information that he has. But it's clear that the Elm Street address is where they go to check in, and that he probably went there. But all indication is that for some reason he left there, and he didn't go to one of the other facilities. There's reasons for leaving. Is where it's a little bit cloudy, but it is his responsibility to make sure he finds a place, and that also he has the ability to contact his PO and make sure that he's maintaining some contact. He was absconded for 23 days. Out of those 23 days, I think he could have made another effort to contact his PO, but PO has stated that she did receive an email. She read the personal email that she actually received, and the email said that he did show up there. However, for some reason, he left there and didn't finish the intake. So if he was there and didn't finish the intake, he would have the name of Mr. Sturgeon and all those there, but there's no indication that information, there's some type of miscommunication information. But in the end, it is up to Mr. Antunes to follow through on what he's supposed to be doing.
And I know he's listening right now, and he's dying to tell us that Mr. Sturgeon told him that the department makes that mistake all the time. So I want to make sure he knows that we're considering that comment. Mr. Quinones.
Yes, I'll keep it short. Ms. Rittenhouse, I just wanted to follow up with a variation of that, and that is that he is experienced with the community corrections process, and 23 days is a long time to go without taking any personal initiative with his freedom at stake, and I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
All right. Then I'm going to make a motion based on information of warrant 2018-W1048, or information provided by Mr. Turner of the Department of Corrections, information provided by Ms. Pivak of the Department of Corrections, our lengthy conversation with Mr. Antunes, which I do appreciate. I appreciate his participation. I do move to revoke his community supervision as he was delinquent. Mr. Antunes, that is, was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways of company, specifically by absconding for 23 days, during which time his parole officer was not apprised of where he was and what he was doing. That is my motion.
Mr. Antunes, please.
Agreed.
So seconded by Mr. Johnson. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson. Agreed by Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. Okay, Mr. Antunes, the board has voted unanimously to revoke your community supervision. You heard the discussion. This is a very difficult, complicated case, sir. You're scheduled for release on August 23rd.
Correct.
2018. After that, you won't have a parole officer to worry about. So
I understand.
Yeah. So
all I was going to say was, if I spoke to her on the 4th, how was I absconded for 23 days? If I spoke to her on the 4th, I was in contact with her. That means I would only absconded for 21 days.
Well, sir.
Is that correct?
It's counted from contact in person, not contact on the phone, Michael.
But I respect that. But you also
Mr. Antunes, your hearing is, the board has made its decision and your hearing is concluded. We thank you so much. Thank you, Officer Pivak.
You guys have a great day. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.